So y'all must really love Jesus if you can come and eat all that food and then not go home and take a nap, but come to church, amen, and just enjoy the presence of the Lord, amen. How many is excited and thankful for the presence of the Lord that we had this morning, amen? I don't know, I may be the only one that felt the presence of the Lord this morning, but I know that I'm not, because I know that most of y'all, amen, got a blessing this morning down in the altars, amen. We thank you. The Lord appreciates people down in the altars, amen. How many know that's why we have these altars here, amen, and so you can come down and pour your heart out to God, give your sorrows, your cares, your burdens, everything that you have that you don't want to God, amen. How many knows that's what they're for, amen? How many know that in the Old Testament that's what the altars were for? But in the Old Testament, a little different of situations. In the Old Testament, they would offer up live sacrifices, amen. And in that live sacrifice, what it would do is the fire that would consume them would, the Bible said that it would stink, amen. And how many know that's what our sins do, is they stink in the nostrils of God? And that's exactly what these altars are for. I'm thankful every time I go into a church that I see altars. How many know that not every church has altars anymore? A lot of the churches have taken their altars out because they can have more room to do other things with the space than just have altars there, amen. And I can promise you one thing, that if a church doesn't have altars in their church, then they're not really I would say on fire for God, because they don't have many people come to the altar, amen. And which is a sad thing. It's very sad today, but I'm thankful, amen, for churches and for a church, y'all's church, that does have altars in the church, and God bless you for that. If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, amen, turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And when you're there, say amen with me. Amen. I guess most of y'all can look right up here, can't you? Amen. Starting in verse number 1, the Bible said, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Pray with me this afternoon. Father, tonight, this afternoon, we're thankful, Lord, that we can gather in your house one more time, Father, Lord, after, oh God, a great service that we had this morning, and dear God, after the great lunch that we've had, that, Lord, your people have prepared for us today. Father, we ask a blessing upon them today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather again in your house, Lord, to experience another opportunity for your presence and your glory to fall, Lord, upon us, that we may be edified and exalted in due time. And Lord, we praise you for that, and we thank you. Lord, we were expecting great things this afternoon. Lord, we're expecting great things in the altars this afternoon. And God, we pray that you would, Lord, put a desire, dear God, into your people's heart, Lord, to use these, to put these altars to use. And God, we pray tonight, this afternoon, Lord, that you would do just that, Father. Lord, that you would give us a desire, dear God. Lord, that you would bless us and open our ears and our hearts and our minds, Lord, to your word. Lord, that we would be anointed of you, that we could preach your word, what you would have us to preach this afternoon. And Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory. And everybody in the house says, amen. I want to bring a message to you entitled that the Lord had stuck in my spirit, amen. And it's been on my heart for several months now. And whenever I quoted the scripture about the perilous times, the Lord just began to bring it back to me today. And I'm going to bring a message to you entitled "Conquerors in a Corrupt Generation." How many know today that we are living in a generation, in a time full of corruptness and full of deceit, amen? You can look at this. I'm not the only one that can see this, but you can look at the news and you can look, amen, at the things that are in the newspaper. You can look everywhere around you and you can see the very corruptness of this world today. You can look in our White House and that's right. If this message gets even to the White House, awesome, amen. Even in our White House is corrupt, amen. Our president, our Congress, everywhere you look, they're passing things that is so ungodly. They're passing laws, amen, that are totally against the Constitution, that are totally against not just the Constitution and our morals of this life, but they are against the life to come, if you would, this evening. They are indeed against the life to come. They are against the principles of the Word of God, and that's exactly what this United States was founded on, was the principles of this Word right here. Now I hear a lot of people, they say, well, you know, you have the freedom of religion. Well, I believe in my heart that this nation was founded up on the principles and the background and the foundation of this Word, because I believe you hear stories of our presidents and former presidents, of people coming in the morning times, their assistants, amen, and they would find them buried down on their knees and in their face in the floor, their face in their chair, praying to God that God would bless this nation. And I have no other reason to believe that this world and this nation was founded upon the principles of God, not that other religions could come into our nation, amen, and perform their religion or beat us up, amen, because we are doing our religion and performing and living our religion, but simply that we and I could live what we believe. And so therefore we have the freedom of religion to stop anybody else from coming in and saying, you know what, if you can have your religion, I can have my religion, and I can have my religion, and end up being 1,500 different religions out on this world, or however many there are, amen, working in this nation. And you know what, I believe that every single religion that is out there today, even in the foreign lands, people are performing and living in America today. But how many know today that through their corruptness, amen, that you and I, amen, can be conquerors? Can you say amen? To know that you and me today, that we can live sober. The Bible said sober and be vigilant, amen. And it talks about living holy in this very hour, in this very generation, amen. You and me today, we don't have to lay down. You and me don't have to roll over. You and me today, we don't have to get kicked around by every single body, amen, that wants to persecute us and that wants to put us down because we're not living, amen, because we're not being politically correct today, amen. But like I said earlier, I don't want to be politically correct. I'm tired of pleasing everybody. I'm tired, amen, of watching what I say or watching who I witness to, or amen, watching, amen, going to different churches and having people tell me that I can preach this but I can't preach that. I can tell you one thing, if a preacher wants to tell me what I can and what I cannot preach, amen, that's in the Bible and that's against the Bible, that's for the Bible, amen, he's not going to like me very much. He may not even have me that morning or have me that night, because I don't care who it is. I'm not going to lay down to man's standards. You and me aren't going to lay down to man's standards. We are called to live a higher standard, if you would, this morning, amen. You and me, we need to quit worrying, amen, about hurting people's feelings anymore, amen. If it's what the Bible said, it's what the Bible said. You and me aren't the ones that's hurting their feelings. The Word of God is offending them, amen. And if the Word of God offends them, it's not to offend them, amen, but it's not to really put them down and beat them down. But what it is doing is, if it offends them, it is doing its job by convicting the very soul of man. So many people today, they're like, well, we can't preach this behind the pulpit because we have active homosexuals in the church today. Well, if you have active homosexuals in the church today, you need to preach it. If you have active adulterers in the church, you need to preach it. If you have sinners in the church, you need to preach it. Amen. You and me, we need to quit worrying about offending everybody. We just need to go and be a witness of this great Word of God. Amen. For the Bible said that it's the power of the gospel unto salvation. I believe that's what the disciples said. He said, I'll not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of the gospel unto salvation. I'm still here to believe today, amen, that from the very day that disciple said that, amen, until the day that this great gospel is still as powerful today as it ever was when he said it and when he spoke it into existence, amen. I believe that the blood of Jesus today is still as powerful today as it ever was since the day of the crucifixion. Amen. That I believe that every drop that dropped from, amen, the very veins and the very wounds of Christ himself. Amen. I believe that they just didn't go out to, amen, and fall down into eternity. But I believe that they every drop that fell, amen, every puddle that it made, I believe that it was for a purpose. Can you say amen? That it was for somebody, amen, like me, amen, that grew up in church all his life, turned his back on God, amen, and lived his own life, but one day, amen, praise God, coming to a church camp, amen, and getting convicted by the Holy Ghost and turning my life over to him, being called into the ministry. I still believe today, amen, that the blood is still for someone that has not been birthed into the kingdom of God. They've been birthed on this earth, but they've not been birthed into the kingdom of God, and I believe that's what the Bible, that's what the Word, that's what the blood of Jesus is there to do. Amen. It is there when somebody wants to get saved. It's there when somebody wants to get reconciled. It's there, amen, when somebody wants to turn their life to him. Praise God. How many know that you and me can be a part of that? You and me can be a part of someone turning their lives over to Christ. Amen. That's one of the greatest things as a Christian that you and me could ever see. But he said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Pastor, we have so many people in America today that are just that. They are unthankful and they are unholy. They are covetousness. They covet. They boast. They are very proud. They even blaspheme on people without natural affection. That's a homosexual. That's someone that isn't right in their mind, if you would, because when somebody ain't right in their mind, the devil is at play and the devil is working, amen. And you can't tell me any different. False accusers, incontent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. How many know anybody in here, amen, that you do good deeds and you try to do good, but how many knows there's that somebody, amen, that's always going to be there to put you down and to talk bad about you because you're doing something that they're not. If you're that person, you keep doing what you do. You keep being that good person. You keep Christ at the center of that, and I can guarantee you nothing ain't going to stop you. Amen. And probably one of my favorite verses of the Bible in today's generation is this fifth verse. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And the reason I say that and the reason I bring that up is simply because we have many people in the church today, amen, and I'm telling you this, amen, as a warning and as for you to take heed to this, that there are many people, amen, the Bible even talks about wolves in sheep's clothing, amen, and what it's talking about is there are people and there are pastors, there are worship leaders, there are Sunday school teachers, you name it, any kind of leadership in the church, there are those, amen, That talk about that walk a good walk, that talk a good talk, that look a good look, amen. But on the inside of them works deceitfulness, amen. There's something on the inside of them, amen, that they profess to have a power, amen. When they get down and they want to pray for somebody and they put everything into it, amen. And they want to speak in tongues and they want to do this and they want to do that. And you look at them and you say, man, what a holy man. What power is coming from him, amen. But in the end, amen, what it's going to produce is it's going to produce bad fruit is what it's going to produce. But it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I hear a lot of people say, you know what, I go to Pentecostal churches and I go to holiness churches, but you know, I don't feel anything. Why is that? Well, it's simple. It's simple. I've come to realize this, that, you know what? There are pastors out there that want the title of holiness, that want the title of that power, that Pentecostal power, but their lives on the, behind the scenes doesn't produce the fruit of power. It doesn't produce the fruit of Pentecost. And what they do is they like to look good. They like to say, hey, you know what? We're Pentecostal. Come enjoy us. Come and enjoy our service. But you know what? When you go to church, I've been in churches where it's felt like I've not even been to church. I talked to this one lady, it's been years ago, and I didn't work with her, but she worked at the bank that I worked at, and I was working one Saturday with her, and she says, you know what, and there was a lady that was there, and I guess she had just moved back into town, and I asked her, I said, where are you going to church at? You go to church anywhere? And she told me where she used to go and where she's been and whatnot, and this lady, she spoke up, and she said, you know what, you ought to come to my church. And so I sat there for a minute, and I just let her talk, do what she wanted to do, and she said, man, you'll love my church. When you go to my church, it's like you ain't even been to church. Man, I looked at her and I said, I was thinking, I didn't say this, but I was thinking, because I'd have probably got fired if I'd have said this. Like, why in the world would I want to go to a church where it seems like I ain't even been to church when I left? I don't know about anybody else, but when I come to church, I come to church for a reason. Amen. I come to church to get a blessing. I come to church, amen, because I know that I'm going to meet God at church. Amen. I know that the church that I'm going to, amen, I know that the pastor's spirit-filled. I know that he's been on his knees praying for a message. I know he's been in prayer. Amen. I know he's fasted, and I know he's prayed up. And I know he's got a word for me from God, because I'm going to need it. Amen. I don't want to go to church. If I go to church to feel like that I've not been to church, I don't even want to go to church. I can sit at home and watch Sunday night football, amen, and get just of a blessing, amen, that I did going to a church that you don't even feel like you've been to church at. But anyways, you and me, we live in a generation that is corrupt, amen. But thanks be to God, we can be conquerors in that. And I'm going to show you this right here in Romans chapter number 8, real quick, if you'll turn with me. Will not hold you long this afternoon, amen. The pastor told me, he said, you ain't put on a time limit, amen. You just carry on and have your way, but as the Lord would lead this afternoon, amen, we wanna make some time for the altars this afternoon, and we want people to get blessed. How many like being blessed in here, amen? And to be obedient, amen, to God, and just to get in the altars, amen. Because I believe that in this generation that you and me, we live in today, I believe that we need these altars more than anything, amen. We need the altars, we need prayer, we need the word of God. We just need as much of God as we can get. That way, that lost and dying world out there can see somebody and see something different, amen, than what they know it to be. There are a lot of people that are false, amen, that talk a good talk, as I said, and walk a good walk, but on the inside, they're nothing but ravening wolves, amen, seeking to do nothing but devour and to tear down the body of Christ. And I just believe, amen, that we need prayer, that we need to pray, amen. But Romans chapter number 8, verse number 31, the Bible says this. He says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? Is it Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again? Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We read it so simply right here that the Bible even says that, nay, in all these things, He said, in all these things, he said, what are all of these things? He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Lord knows we go through enough tribulation here on earth, even before the 7 years of tribulation. We go through plenty of tribulation. We go through tremendous temptations on a daily basis. Some of us do. Amen. And then distress and persecution. How many know that we got Christians today, even in America, that are being persecuted for Christ's sake, that are going out and preaching the gospel, and that are being imprisoned, and that are being beaten, that are being held hostage, and that are fighting for their life, amen. But I can assure you that their determination, as Paul declared, he said, I count it all but loss. He said, you can do anything to me. He said, you can torment me, you can tempt me, you can beat me, you can do whatever you want to do. He said, but I count it all but loss. Everything you want to give me, everything you want to offer me, all the persecution, all the bad talking about, all the cussings you want to give me, all the time you want to rub my name through the dirt, you want to throw everything at me, go ahead and give it to me, because I'm willing to take it, amen, because I want to gain Christ, if nothing else, amen. There ain't nothing on this earth, Paul said, that I'd rather do than to gain Christ, than to know that my soul, amen, is kept in God's hands, and that He has me right where He wants me and where He wants me to be. Christ has you where He wants you to be. But one thing about it is, you can always get a little closer. You can always get a little more if you want it. Amen. He has you right where you're at. He's not going to let you go. As the Bible declares many times, amen, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us, but be with us until the very end. Here, a lot of people, they like to take that scripture out of context of God will never leave me, He'll never forsake me, but He'll be with me until the very end. And the reason they say that is because, amen, they don't have enough rent to pay their bills. They don't have enough food in their closet. They don't have enough anything to get by, because they done spent all their money at the casino. They done spent all their rent money, amen, on drugs and alcohol, amen. But still yet, God's not gonna leave them, nor forsake them, but be with them until the very end. Let me tell you something. That scripture is not talking about God keeping you and never leaving you, amen, and all the sinning that you're doing. He's talking about those that are going through trials, those that are going through tribulation. He won't leave those that are going through trials for His sake, that are in His service and that are going through this. Not the people, amen, today that bring things all the time on themselves, amen, because of the sin that they're doing, amen. Not anything less, amen, than those that are born again, bought with the blood of Jesus, that are going through something, amen, that they have their mind on Christ and they ain't looking back, no matter what's happening, no matter what their finances look like, no matter what their bank account looks like, no matter what their political status is or their agenda may be, they don't care, amen. They just know that God's not going to leave them nor forsake them, but He's going to be with them until the very end of time, because their mind and their heart is on Christ. But He spared not His Son, His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How many know when you spare something? How many know that's your last, that's it, and you're not going to get it back? You just give it away. You spared, you hear a lot of people say, well, I spared my last $10, amen, I give it to somebody. Well, they ain't expecting that back. They ain't going to get that back. Oh, but what He was saying here is, He said, God, He didn't give away His Son to not expect Him back, but He delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not also, with Him, also freely give us all things? How many know He's wanting to give you everything? He wants to give you all of your heart's desires. He wants to give you everything, amen, that you've ever dreamed of having, amen, if it line up with the Word of God and if it line up with the will of God. But He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. He said, nay, in all these things. He said, not even one. He said, there ain't one that's going to come close. There ain't one that's going to run a race, amen, beside me. He said, I'm not looking back to the things that I've already went through. He said, but I'm looking toward the mark, to the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus who loved me. He said, I'm going on, because he said, I'm persecuted all the day long. He said, I'm more than a conqueror. Amen, through him that loved us. You and me, we ain't conquerors through our pastor. We're not conquerors through our neighbor. We're not conquerors, amen, through our job or through the nicest car that you drive or the nicest house that you have. Or you're not even a conqueror through all the money that you have. But the only way you would be a conqueror is if through the man that give you everything that you have. His name is Jesus. Through him and him alone are we conquerors, through him, amen, who loved us. Oh, he loved us so much that he even proved it upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, I'm so thankful for the cross of Calvary. If it wasn't for the cross, I wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be here today. Amen. I would be in a beggar's hell today. I'm just thankful, amen, today for the Word of God and for that conquering spirit of Jesus Christ. The Bible even said in Revelations chapter, I can't remember exactly what chapter it is, but in Revelations he said they are more than conquerors. He said they conquered the devil through the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. I don't know of anybody here that don't have a testimony. You may say, well, you know what, I've never been in drugs and I've never been in alcohol. Well, you know what, I've never been either. But I do have this one thing. If you've been born again, you've been bought with the blood of Jesus, you have a testimony, because the Bible said that all men was born into sin, amen, and that in order to be redeemed of Jesus, you must confess your sins. So if you've confessed your sin, you do have a testimony, whether it may not be, amen, as great as somebody else's, amen. I heard someone say not too long ago that the greatest testimony that you can ever tell is that you've never been caught up in drugs. You've never been caught up in alcohol. You've never had to been bound by drugs. You've never had to do any of that. He said, that's the greatest testimony you have. But anyways, he said, any testimony that you have is great in the eyes of God. Simply because if you can say that Jesus Christ delivered me from my sins, you have one of the greatest testimonies that anybody could ever profess. Deliverance from sin. I was never bound by anything. Well, if you was never bound by Christ, you was bound by the devil, so therefore you were bound by sin. You might not have ever been in drugs. You might have been in drugs. Maybe not ever alcohol. Maybe you've been in alcohol and God delivered you from that. Praise be to God this morning. Oh, this morning, this afternoon, if the musicians would come back, I'm closing. Amen. Conquerors. In a corrupt generation. Would there be anybody here this afternoon that would say, you know what? I want to be that conqueror. I want to be that conqueror in this corrupt generation. I want to be somebody that would say, you know what? I want to go to my friends. I want to go to my family. I want to go to my coworkers. I want to go to everybody that I see, and I want to be a witness of Christ. I want to be a witness to them of Christ Jesus through what he's did in my life, for where he's brought me from and to where I am today, amen. To be a witness and to reflect, amen, off of who I used to be, because I used to be one of the most low down dirty dogs you'd ever see. But today I'm where I am, not because of myself, not because of the job that I have, not because of the vehicles or the houses that I own, but I can tell you one thing, it's only through the blood of Jesus, and it's only through his great great Father that sent him, amen, this morning. If you're here and you desire to be that conqueror in this corrupt generation, if you can and you have enough energy, would you come to this altar this afternoon? One more time. You say, you know what? I want to be that conqueror. I want to be that one that has the whole armor of God on at all times. You might be like David. You might say, you know what? I can't prove this armor. But what I can prove is I can approve, amen, of the power of God that's in me. And you know what? That's all that I need. is the power of God within us to be that conqueror. Amen. To be that conqueror in this generation. In the generation that we're in. Amen. You and me, you may be here this morning, this afternoon, and you may say, you know what? I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost, but I want to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.